All right, if you got your Bibles, we're going to open again to Matthew chapter 6. Welcome back to our series on Teach Us to Pray. It's been a few weeks since we've been talking about that. In this series, although we haven't spent the entire series on the Lord's Prayer, we've spent a good portion of it on the Lord's Prayer, because when the disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray," or when he's giving the Sermon on the Mount, this is the prayer that he gave. And so how many know it's important that if we want to learn how to pray, that we look at the Word of God and specifically the Lord's Prayer? Amen? Amen. So that's what we're doing. We've got, like I mentioned before, we've got five main points that I'm pulling out of the Lord's Prayer, so it helps us to remember each part of the Lord's Prayer. We've covered three of them so far. The first one is acknowledge. Acknowledge, that's in Matthew 6, 9. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. We're acknowledging who it is that we're praying to. As we pray, we acknowledge that he is our Father in heaven. Number two, submission. That cringe word, submission. Ooh, I don't like to submit, right? That's verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Christine, a few weeks ago during our kids' corner, she had the whole chooser. We have a chooser. It's either his will or my will, one or the other, right? And so she was showing us that. That's the same thing. What do we choose to do? Do we choose my will over his will, or do we choose his will over my will? Submission. That's the second one. The third one is trust. Verse 11, trust. Give us today our daily bread. We trust him to provide what we need physically every day. But we also trust that he is the bread of life, the one who gives us eternal life, the only one that can do that. And the fourth one we haven't talked about yet, but we talked about the verse 12, which is forgive us our debts as we forgive those, as we forgive our debtors. That's in verse 12. So the fourth one today is forgive. When we come to God in prayer, we need to come with an attitude of forgiveness. I want to forgive my brother or my sister or this person who did that wrong to me, because I also want to receive forgiveness from our Lord. And Jesus, as soon as he gets done with that prayer, he says, if you do not forgive your fellow man who sinned against you, your heavenly Father will not forgive you your sins. So it's very important that we practice forgiveness. And so today we're going to start into the fifth part, probably just this week and next week, and we'll finish up on the Lord's Prayer, Lord willing. But that's where we're going to be at. And I'm going to read today. We're going to start in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6, just for context to get us back into thinking about prayer again. And it says this in verse 5, and when you pray, not if, but when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. That's all they get. But when you pray, again when, not if, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, again, not if, but when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Not specifically what you should pray, but how you should pray. He gives us the model here. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Your word is truth. It gives us insight for living. It helps us to know how it is that we're supposed to live. It tells us what's right from what's wrong, God, and it shows us how it is that we can know you. So thank you for your word today. May it come alive in our hearts today as we talk about the next part of the Lord's Prayer. And God, would you enable me to share what you want to have shared today? Regardless of what I've written down, God, may it be your words and not my own, Lord God. I give you permission to direct us however you want to today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title of the message today, How to Combat Temptation. How to Combat Temptation. So, talking about temptation, what is temptation? I'll give you a real simple example. Last weekend, my family was cooking and baking all kinds of things for the bake sale. My kitchen was full of all kinds of yummy, smelly, good things. And I look around and I'm like, oh, that's good. That looks good. That looks really good. I think I want to have some. And this desire rises up in me as like, I want to have some of all of it. I want to have it for a snack. I want to have it for a meal, Violet. I want to have it for a snack between my snack and my meal. Just because I want to have it. Okay? Now that's my eyes. My mouth is telling me that. But while my mouth enjoys that kind of stuff, my stomach doesn't necessarily agree with all of those things that my mouth decides I want to have. Right? And it can kind of be a party pooper, so to speak, depending on what I take in. But I bring all that up to say this. We can think temptations are things that only believers face, but they're not just things that we as believers deal with. Temptations are instead anything that tries to cancel out what it is that we truly want. Not just what we want, but what we truly, truly want. Okay? The longing that are deep within our hearts, the longings that are deep within our hearts, those are the things that the temptation tries to replace with other things that are not good for us. If discipline is remembering what you want, if that's what the definition of discipline is, temptation is what tries to make us forget that, what we truly want, by replacing it with something else that's not good for us. Let's say you want to get healthy. You want to get in shape. You want to get fit. Maybe it's because you decide to do that, or maybe it's because your doctor looks at your blood work and says, you gotta shape up. You got to shape up. Whatever the case may be. Maybe you say you take up bicycling. Not motorcycling, but bicycling. That's good for you, right? That's good. Well, it is well and good unless you decide to, let's say, have a cigarette while you're biking. Sadly, that's a true story. I've done that. Okay? If bicycling is the discipline to get you healthy, smoking would be the temptation that gets in the way of you getting there, what it is that you truly want. Okay? It limits you from what you want to be healthy. And the moral of that story is, don't bicycle and smoke. Just bike. That's it. Okay? There are other temptations that I've dealt with as well that can cause me to forget the things that I really want in life. I remember I was dating this girl about 8 weeks into the relationship, and we were fighting. And in one of our fights, I remember saying this, you know, all my life I had this picture of who it was that I was going to be with someday. And basically, you're not it. I didn't quite say it like that, but you get the point. How many know the relationship ended that day? Yes, it did. It did. By the way, young person, single person, if God has given you a picture of who it is that you're supposed to be with, don't date anybody that doesn't look like that. That doesn't fit that criteria, okay? And even if God hasn't given you a picture, he has in his word. Guys, Proverbs 31, 10 to 31, a wife of noble character, who can find? Who can find? It says at the end of Proverbs 31 that charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. That's what we should be looking for, guys. I'm glad that Kurt found that in Dixie. Amen. Amen. And for gals, Ephesians 5, 21 to 33 talks about what a husband should do. A husband should love his wife and give himself up for her. If the guy that you're dating, all he does is play video games all day, it's probably not a good relationship. Right? God has given us a godly picture of what a spouse will look like. And physical looks aren't everything, by the way. This relationship that I was last, it was the last relationship that I had before Kelly and I started dating with this 8-week relationship. And I was tempted to be in this relationship and fell into that temptation because, like those cookies sitting on the counter, I desired to have it. I desired to be in this relationship. Why? Because it met a need in my life that God had designed to be met in another way. But I went and I did it on my own. I didn't want to feel lonely. But at the same time, it got in the way of Kelly's and my relationship, which had been growing closer until this point. okay? And also prevented some of the growth in the Lord from other believers around me, as many of my church friends, who I met through Kelly, they were her friends first, broke all ties with me, well, most of them, for about 8 weeks, most of that time that I was dating this gal. So by the way, if what you do or who you are with causes the community of believers around you to step back, probably not the right person to be with, probably not the right thing to be doing. Amen? We need the believers to be around us. Now, I want you to know that after walking with the Lord for 23 years now, 23 years, I want you to know I still struggle with temptation. I still deal with that. I'm tempted to say things that won't be an encouragement to others. I'm tempted to dwell on thoughts that don't bring God glory. I'm tempted to long for things that I don't have. I'm tempted to doubt the promises of God. I'm tempted to look at things that are evil. I'm tempted not to forgive those who hurt me. I'm tempted to be stingy with what I have to give, and so on, and so on, and so on. But here's the issue. Until we realize what the temptations that we face in our lives are, that they are temptations, we may be living thinking, that's just the way I am. I'm just a stingy person. I'm just a hurtful person. I'm just a bad person. And so we need the truth so we can combat temptation, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So, number one today, we combat temptation by asking for God's help. For asking for God's help. Here in the Lord's Prayer, the temptations that Jesus is referring to are things that keep a believer from following the Lord and how they should live. Again, preventing those things that we truly want in our hearts. You ever think about that as a believer, guys? What I truly want is to follow the Lord. Like Paul said, but I see another law at work within me. In Romans chapter 7, I see another law, and sometimes it makes me a slave. I truly want, in my heart of hearts, that's truly what I want. I want to follow the Lord. And so as Jesus shows us in the Lord's Prayer, we ask for the Father's help in prayer. For asking for his help puts us in a place of humility. I can't do this on my own. I cannot resist the temptations that I face in my life on my own. And in submission, as we acknowledge that he is the one who is able to help me to resist falling into temptation. Amen? Okay, some of you agree with me. That's good. We acknowledge we aren't able to keep ourselves from falling into temptation. But at the same time, we acknowledge the one there is one who is able to keep us from it. Now, God is able to do anything and everything. Would you agree? God is able to do anything and everything. But he tells us to ask and to seek and to knock. It's in Matthew 7. Promising that everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. The door will be opened. Just like salvation, God gives us his grace that is more than sufficient to save us. Praise the Lord for that. To redeem us from all of our wrongs. But we still have to make the decision to receive that gift. We don't get it because our parents were Christians. We don't get it because we have a good friend who's a Christian. I'm with him or I'm with her. We have to make that decision. We have to choose to receive salvation. We choose to ask God for his help. Also, asking for God's help puts him in the place of guide in our lives. Guide. Psalm 48, verse 14 says this, God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. It means you don't have to find a new guide every day or every month or every season of your life. You have one guide that is ready to walk with you now and for every day of your life on this earth. And he's going to be constantly teaching you the way that you should go. This is the way. Walk ye in it. In the Kidja version, that's how it says it. Walk ye in it. God desires to be our guide through life, but we can be guided by a lot of different things, can't we? Yeah. And along those lines, we can tell, or someone maybe else could tell by looking at our life, what we're guided by what we spend our time on. Matthew 7 and 21 says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want you to get this picture in your mind of God here in Isaiah 65, verse 2. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. And he says, "All day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people." I can be obstinate. "All day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations." Pursuing their own imaginations. That's a picture I want you to see of God. Okay? Here he is. He stands before you and he says, "I've got all the things that you need. I have everything that you have need of. Just come to me. Just come and spend time with me. Just come and ask for it. I have it all. Don't follow those temptations. Come to me." And so we ask him in prayer for his help to lead us that we may not be led into temptation. Number two. That was all number one, by the way. Number two, to combat temptation, we pray his word. We pray his word, which means we need to know his word so we can pray it. The end of Matthew chapter 3, Jesus is baptized in water by his cousin John the Baptist in the River Jordan. And as he comes out of the water, the Bible says in Matthew 3 that heaven opens and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descends upon Jesus like a dove. And there's a voice from heaven that says, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased. This is my Son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." Guys, that's a picture of the Trinity right there. The voice of the Father, the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, and the Son of God walking out of the water after being baptized. It's the Trinity. And directly after this, Matthew 4 says that Jesus was led by the Spirit, capital S, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And Matthew 4, verse 3, the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God." Now, friends, there is a tempter, but that tempter is not our God. We read there in Matthew 4 that it's the devil. And James confirms this in James chapter 1 and verse 13, when James says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." So there you go. God doesn't tempt us. He tests us. When you ask him to search our hearts, he tests us to show us what's in our hearts. We were watching an older movie, Courageous, the other day. And in this movie, there's a gentleman who has trouble keeping a job, and he's trying to provide for his family, and he gets this job. And about a month into it, he gets called into the manager's office, and the manager says, "Hey, you're doing a good job. We want to promote you. And so, but the first thing I need you to do is we're going to get 17 pallets of in the shipment, and I want you to say we only got 16, and this other one I want you to set aside because I have a different purpose for that." And so this gentleman gets to go home overnight and think about, what am I going to choose to do? Okay? Am I going to choose to do this? Because he could lose his job if he doesn't choose to do this, is what the manager told him in the office. He could lose his job, and he comes back the next day after praying about it, and he says, "I cannot in good conscience do this. This would not be pleasing to the Lord." And it was a test, because then that manager said, "Now I know I can trust you, and I will promote you into that position." So God tests us like that, in different ways like that, to show us what's in our hearts so that we can continue to live for him. But he doesn't tempt us. Like we sang about earlier, he is a good, good father. He is good. So why did the Holy Spirit lead Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted? And to make matters worse, have him fast for 40 days and 40 nights that he may be really hungry when the tempter comes? Anybody know? Just kidding. It's a good question though, right? I will not say that, I'm not even going to pretend to say that I know that answer completely. But there are a couple things that I believe that we can get out of that. One is we have a great high priest who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. He can relate to us. He came in the form of Jesus Christ. So yes, die for our sins, live a perfect sinless life and die for our sins, but also so that he could relate to us. He can say, I know what you're going through. I know what you're experiencing in life. I can relate to you. But also, I believe, to show us how to handle temptation. God knew that that was going to be written down, what happened with Jesus in the wilderness. He knew it was going to be written down in his word. And so we need to learn from him. Like Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He said, learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble, and in me you will find rest for your souls. So we need to learn from him, and we need to pray his word. I wondered why it is that Jesus says to pray, lead us not into temptation in the Lord's Prayer, when God is not the one who tempts us. That's another good question, isn't it? In our walk with the Lord, as we get some victory, some freedom in the things that we used to struggle with, we can begin to think, okay, God, thanks for helping me. I got this handle now. I can do this on my own. You took care of it. You got me started in a good path. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to take care. In fact, I'm going to walk back into those same things I used to struggle with, and I'm going to stand firm because I'm going to be able to do it now. Yeah. Anyway, Paul warns us in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. And right after that, he gives us a truth that we can use to pray over our lives to combat that temptation. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken or seized you except what is common to mankind. Right there. That's every single person experiences temptation in some way. You are not alone. You are not the only one. Say that to somebody else. Say, I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one, yes. But the enemy will try to get you to believe that you are. And he'll say, if you are a Christian, why do you struggle with that? Why is that a temptation to you? Why can't you let that go? That must be who you are. Have you heard that voice before? I know I have. But continuing on, here's the truth. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 again. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Tempted beyond what you can bear. Tempted. But when you are tempted, again, when, not if, when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Now notice this verse doesn't say that God won't give you more than you can handle. We take it that way. We misconstrue it to say, oh, if he's not going to be tempting me more than I can bear, then he's not going to give me more than I can handle. That is a lie. That is a lie. There are things that come against us in this life that are more than we can handle. But his grace is sufficient, and his power is made perfect in our weakness. Amen? But I want you to know that while he doesn't tempt us, he also doesn't allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. And we should be rejoicing about that. He's not going to allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. That means he's got all authority. Whatever comes our way, not only does he know it fully, but he provides a way out. So we can stand up under it, so that we can endure it, so we can crawl out under it, whatever translation you choose to use. Either way, he provides a way out. And our lives are in his hands. So pray his word and don't go looking for trouble. It will find you. It says in the Bible, if you look for evil, evil will find you. Okay? Don't be like Samson and Delilah and get worn down by the enemy. If you go on the path of temptation, if you put yourself in that place, if you go looking for trouble, the enemy will wear you down. It's Judges 16. Or Proverbs 7. Don't go in the direction of temptation. The youth who had no sense, that's what the author of Proverbs 7 is talking about. I noticed through the lattice work a youth who had no sense that was walking in the direction of the adulteress's house at twilight as night was setting in. He was walking in the direction of her house trying to hide what was going to happen. Don't walk there. Don't walk there. You know what you're tempted with. As you walk with the Lord, He reveals that to you. Don't go there. Pray God's word that you may not be led into the path of temptation. Number three, to combat temptation, we need to spend time with the one who went through all the same things. All the same things. How many know we can choose to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but that doesn't mean we will never be tempted again to do wrong. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 4:15, I quoted it earlier. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. That's a lot of like double negatives there. It means we have a high priest who is able to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Our Savior has not only been tempted, but he's been tempted in every way. And not only tempted in every way, but tempted in every way just as we are. Yet he did not sin. How many know it's important to spend time with this guy? How many know the guy who put on our flesh, dealt with what we deal with, and overcame? And in him we are more than conquerors. In him we can overcome. The best place to be when tempted is close to him. Because if you're not, and you're tempted, it's much more difficult to get close to him in that moment, in the midst of that temptation, than if you spend your days walking with him. In fact, it's in living for Jesus, spending time with him, that we become more aware not only of the sin in our own lives, but also of those temptations that we face. What is a temptation and what is me? I am not what I'm tempted with. I am not my sin. But we need to spend time with him to know that. Back to that gal that I saw for 8 weeks, quite the relationship, 8 week relationship. It was during that time that I had begun reading through the Bible for the very first time in my life. I had started in Genesis before, but I never got through Genesis. And by the way, I don't recommend, if you're going to choose to read through the Bible, don't just start in Genesis and think you're going to get all the way to Revelation. Start with like the Gospel of John or Ephesians or something like that in the New Testament. And once you get a good foundation, then you can go back and start reading through it. But just, you get lost in it all. But, yeah, the begots, yep, all that. But I had begun reading through the Bible for the very first time, and it was during that season of my life that I actually read the Bible cover to cover for the very first time. Praise the Lord. But I believe that spending time with the Word of God, who is the Word of God? Jesus. John chapter 1 says, "The Word was made flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we beheld his glory." So spending time with Jesus is spending time in the Word of God. And it helped me see through that temptation of just having this relationship to meet a need, which is why I shared with that gal, you're not it. You're not it. And to instead trust God to meet that need for who it was that I was to be with someday, which I found out shortly thereafter that it was Kelly. Spending time soaking in the scriptures is to spend time with Jesus. And lastly, number four today, in combating temptation, prayer is a preventative measure. Prayer is a preventative measure in helping us not fall into temptation. Jesus said this to his disciples in the garden, right before he was arrested. In Matthew 26 and verse 41, he says, "Watch and pray. Be alert and pray. Stay awake and pray." However your translation says it, but it says pray. Pray so that you will not what? Fall into temptation. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. Getting back to what we truly want, what we truly want. What our spirit wants is it knows the deep longings of our hearts. And the spirit's willing to seek God for those things that we need. But the flesh tries to get us caught up in the things of this world. To really, where only God, really only God, can truly meet the deepest desires of our hearts. And that's the truth. And so we need to acknowledge that while our spirit is willing to do what is right, the flesh is weak. And those evil desires that all of us have in our flesh, whether you admit it or not, you have evil desires in your flesh. James 1:14 says that. Those evil desires in our flesh are what enable us to be dragged away by the temptations. So we pray. We pray not to avoid temptation, because we're all going to deal with it, but because we will all face temptation, we pray, so that we will not fall into temptation, for prayer is a preventative measure. Here's our main point today, guys. That's not it. Prayer combats temptation. And so we pray to ask for God's help. We pray God's word. We spend time with Jesus. And in doing all of these things, it keeps us from falling into temptation. Amen. Losing my voice here. Excuse me. So as we close today, will you stand with me? In our response time now, I want to ask you today, are you struggling with a temptation? Are you struggling with something? Something that's keeping you from really going after what it is that you truly want? Is there anything in your life that you're dealing with? Maybe more than just cookies sitting on your countertop. Although that can be a struggle as well. Pray. Pray. Don't try to do it on your own. You can't keep yourself from falling into temptation. Ask God to help and pray his word. Spend time with him. Another thing that helps is accountability with another brother or sister in Christ. Pray with someone else. That person can help. Can help to continue to pray. Ask you how you're doing. Keep you accountable. Accountability is not a I'm a weak person and I'm a bad person, so I have to have this kind of thing. No. Accountability is equipping. Accountability is maturing. Accountability takes humility, but it brings us to a better place.